Well, hello there, and welcome to The Lovumentary, a podcast dedicated to finding out the truth behind what creates deeply passionate, connected, lasting love. In every episode, I sit down with one of the most amazing couples, love experts, or authors in the country and discuss the nitty-gritty details of what happens inside the most incredible relationships. We dive into the good times and the bad, the sickness and the health, the richer and the poorer, and how each couple has created their own version of true love. My hope is that you take something from every single one of these stories that can help you love more fully, deeply, and passionately. I'm your host, Nate Bagley, and I am so glad that you're listening right now. Hey guys, I'm sorry this episode is coming out a day and a half late, but the last couple of days have been insane. Yesterday, I got to sit down and interview John and Julie Gottman, like the John and Julie Gottman. If you don't know who John and Julie Gottman are, they are like, if you in the relationship space, they're like the Michael Jordan of the relationship space or the Tiger Woods. Like, they are the probably some of the most respected researchers and therapists in the entire space of relationships. And I got to sit down with them one-on-one and have this amazing conversation, and I'm super excited to share it with you next week. So I'm kind of just walking on cloud nine right now, and on top of that, I get to share this phenomenal episode with you today, which I was thinking earlier that if I were to rank my top three favorite conversations that I've had so far in the podcast, this conversation and the one that I had with the Gottmans would probably rank in that top three. So this week and next week are some really phenomenal episodes that I hope you will enjoy as much as I enjoyed recording them. So I hope you enjoy talking to David and Gretchen Figge. They were introduced to me by last week's guest, by David York, and I'm so glad he introduced me, because these people have the most kind, authentic, genuine relationship I think that I've ever seen. They're just so gracious and good to each other, and at first I kind of didn't believe that it was real. Like, I thought they were kind of putting on a show for me, but honestly, after talking to them and even asking them point blank if their relationship really was as great as it appeared to be, yeah, I believe it is, and I believe it's really possible. And I've been talking about this episode with friends and family for weeks because it was so inspiring. So I hope that you get inspired by what they have to share, and that you realize that the things that they do in their relationship to make it so fantastic are really achievable, and they're not out of reach, they're not unrealistic. So take notes, think long and hard about what you hear in this episode, and get stoked for next week's episode as well, because these are going to be two of the most impactful and dynamic and important episodes of the podcast that you could listen to. I would love to hear your thoughts. So before signing off, if I can make one request, if you enjoy this episode, please go to iTunes and leave a review. You can rate the podcast 1 star to 5 stars. I don't care how much. If you hate it, like, rate it 1 star. If you love it, rate it 5 stars. I just love getting feedback from you guys and hearing what you think. And the more people who leave reviews and rate the podcast, the more exposure it gets on iTunes. And that means the more people who have the opportunity to listen to these amazing stories and get changed by them. So thanks again for tuning in. I hope you have a phenomenal day and that you enjoy this episode. So we just had dinner together.
Yes.
Which was delicious.
Thank you.
And we walked this tightrope between becoming friends but not learning much about, at least me not learning much about you.
Because really
hard to
do. Trying
to respect the authenticity of the podcast.
Really hard to do.
I love. So I would love to know how you guys met and fell in love. And you're approaching your 20th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Which is super awesome. So how did this 20-year relationship, 21-year relationship kind of...
I'll give that to you.
Spark.
So we met country dancing at the Bay. And when we initially met, I thought David was quite arrogant.
Yes.
And I wouldn't really talk to him. I didn't give him the time of day. And so I actually was quite rude myself, ironically. And
can I interject?
Always.
So she walked in with a friend of mine, and we were at the bay, and I had my own pole because I was kind of that guy. And Gretchen walks up, and I look at her, and she looks very familiar to me. So I say just outright, "Hey, I've met you before. What's your name?"
And of course I said, "No, you haven't met me."
And I go, "No, I definitely, definitely have met you."
And no, 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 you haven't met me.
And so at that moment, she says, "Well, my name's Gretchen." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure I met you." And she goes, "No, I'm going to go." And walks off.
I kind of thought he was a creeper.
Yeah.
So in today's language,
right.
At so the time.
We went dancing a lot. So
we did see each other often.
Yeah. So about 3 weeks later, I couldn't remember her name. Who remembers Gretchen? So I'm seeing her go by, and I'd look at my friends. I'd be like, "Hey, there goes the beautiful one." And that's what I call her. So my friend, quote unquote, decides to bring her up to me and literally says, "Hey, David, here's the beautiful one." And I'm like, where do I go with that? So I say, "Hey, beautiful one." And she says,
"Whatever."
And walks off. Again.
Which, once again, makes me look like the rude one. Like, in the moment, it seemed appropriate.
So, 5 months later, I get a girlfriend in between, and I date her.
I had a boyfriend.
She had a boyfriend. 5 months later, I go through, and I won't go into this because it is a long story, a series of events in another state where I'm at a conference. And during that conference, there was a gentleman who spoke before the keynote speaker. And in his speech was enough depth and enough soul-searching elements that I literally came back from that event. I walked out before the keynote speaker. This guy was that intense. I went home, and I was literally lost in my own world, trying to find out where I am. So I went dancing, and
I, for some reason, had a change of heart. And I felt like, you know, he's always here. He's sweet to everyone. And why not talk to him? So I just said, "Why don't you ever ask me to dance? Everybody else does." And so, of course, he then proceeds to ask me to dance.
Okay, you want to dance. So we walk
super
out.
Super awkward.
Oh, my gosh.
Incredibly
so
awkward.
Nothing motivates men more than guilt.
Yes.
So bad. So we are literally full arm length, holding our elbows as straight as we can apart because a slow song started.
It was supposed to be a fast song, like country dancing, but then a slow song comes on, and so super, super weird.
Somebody needed a good laugh, right?
But the one thing that came up during that is I recognized he had changed.
You actually said the words.
I said it.
Yeah. You said, "Something's different about you. What has changed?" And I had no words yet. I had no way to explain.
Because this had just happened to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it kind of opened the door, just to make a very long dating story
to
us becoming friends. And we started hanging out on a more regular basis and spending time together. And we started getting a pattern to interaction.
Yeah. I would say that's a great way to put it. We started learning how we were interacting, and it was not what you're going to see now. It's not what you've seen. It was very much debating every element of life to a point where it was a full-on debate all the time.
We definitely weren't afraid to work out our differences, talk through them.
Now, I do need to tell him one thing that is just awesome, though.
Yeah.
That is just makes me laugh when I go back to this moment. So we were hanging out for a number of weeks, and I was telling my friends that I was hanging out with this girl, but I couldn't remember her name still. So I thought her name was Heidi for about 3 weeks that we were hanging out.
Oh, this is priceless.
So when I finally found out your name was Gretchen, I had to go back to all my friends and tell them, "I'm not seeing Gretchen. I'm not hanging out with Gretchen. I'm hanging out with Heidi.
Right.
I'm hanging out with Gretchen. It's not Heidi."
I had no idea. I was
you had to like reteach all of your friends. This,
so many
this
things.
Person's name.
I was always oblivious.
Oh,
and I was
fantastic.
Super shy and quiet until we were alone together. And there was this freedom for us to be authentic in our disagreements, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I think it was amazing.
And we were just friends. We were strictly friends.
Did you have that in other relationships as well, that freedom?
No.
So this was a unique situation
for
you.
Yeah,
definitely unique for me.
Especially at the level of authenticity.
And I think part of it was we had decided that we wouldn't date. Like, that was a clearly defined line for us. And so It made it really easy for us.
Yeah, we extremely were
very safe. He was my gay friend that wasn't gay.
Right.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't date him.
Yeah.
And so, but after time passed, that changed, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just laughing at that last statement. That was awesome.
Yeah. My gay friend.
Yeah. So going back to that moment, when did it shift from a friendship to a actual level of love? It's a great question. And there's really not a clear...
So I remember this very clearly. Okay. Two things happened.
Love this.
First of all, while we were still friends, because we debated things all the time, we talked about what real love was. That was one of our debates.
Yeah.
And what real love was an action. And so we started treating each other well, and we started, instead of saying, I love you, we would always go, oh, I see that he just did something really nice for me, and I would say, I love you too. Instead of him saying, I love you,
yeah.
I would just recognize the action of love and say, I love you too.
Right.
It's huge.
So we never really had that weird I love you moment.
No. We had a lot of I love you too's, except our first kiss was...
super awkward.
Awful.
Incredibly awkward and
awful.
Weird. But that also improved.
As is wont to do, yeah. With practice, right? Practice makes perfect.
It does. It does.
So, but I do have to say...
But imagine kissing your best friend for real.
Yeah.
We became best friends. We were just great.
It's weird to cross that boundary.
Friends.
I've done that before.
Yeah, it's extremely bizarre.
And then we were dating for a while, and David always classically has this moment of clarity, and he has to bring out something written or something he's defined. And so we're in the car one day, and he's like, I need you to read this. And he pulls out the Bible, and it's the love verse, 1 Corinthians. Mm-hmm. And I read it, and he goes, we do that. I'm like, yeah, you're right. He goes, we're in love. So that is how we were officially in love.
That is true.
Fantastic.
Along the way, there were some real fun moments, if you'd like to hear, like, at least one of them.
I would love to hear as many of them as you want to share.
So Gretchen and I are very different human beings, and we love to dance.
Right.
We will always love to dance, and we love to go dancing. But we are very different. And so early on, what would happen is we would go into a dance club, and my goal walking into the dance club was, I want to own this place.
Mm.
Find me a stage or find me a cage, and that is where I'm going first. Gretchen's
world. And the truth is, everybody follows him. Mm-hmm. It shocks me every time. Like, they just do whatever he says. It's amazing.
But Gretchen, that's very sweet. But Gretchen
would rather kind of stay in the shadows.
Yeah,
right. So we started really early on seeing that there was a lot of disconnect between who she was and who I was. The other side of that coin, where it seemed more extrovert on her side, if she saw an injustice, she saw something that was wrong in a store, she would approach the manager, where I would have walked out.
Mm.
And one day she did that. She approached a manager of a store on an issue, and I remember I grabbed her hand and I said, no, let's go. And we went out to the car.
It made him feel really awkward.
Yeah. Mm. And so we went to the car, and I got in the car and we talked for a second, and I was like, this is just wrong. So from there...
Meaning that you felt you shouldn't have done that.
I should not have done what I did.
Yeah, you had kind of like disallowed her from
being her.
Taking action on her principles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we came up with rules to dating that we actually wrote out. And
written rules to dating.
One of the top rules, and we still do this all the time, was unless something is evil or sinful, we are not going to say no or don't. Because we don't want to mess with who that person really is. We really want to know who that person is. So when I would get on a stage, she would never tell me, don't do this. It makes me feel bad. Don't do it. She would just let me fly. Now, what that did is it made me realize that there's times I shouldn't be up there because she wasn't feeling comfortable. Mm. It reversed the whole situation. And
vice
versa.
Instead of always trying to get the other one to do what you want, you're more aware of what their needs are.
Yeah.
And who they are.
And who they are.
And when you knew that she was being considerate of you, it made you more considerate of her.
All the time. The whole time.
That's really cool.
But that is one of our rules. Another rule we had, we always try and remember. We lost them. We lost our written list.
Yes.
But what were other rules?
Well, it was...
always forgive.
Yep. Always respect and be respected, or we don't need to stay.
Right.
But except that's the for, marriage.
You
that's
know, we got married.
Thing. Yeah.
So we're not,
that
we're not getting divorced over a bad moment.
No.
What else was on that?
There was, they were really good. We should find that one day. See if we can track that down.
Yeah. As we talk more, they'll come up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead. So respect and be respected, or and you don't have to stay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So even if you can even use that in a marriage and say, hey, we can like take a break and not be in the same room together.
Right.
You know, go for a walk, de-escalate or whatever.
Well, yeah. And we kind of expanded that when we got to the marriage mm-hmm. world, and we expanded it into
love God first.
Yes.
That was one of them.
Yep.
Love God first, because if you're placing the person as God in your life, it puts a whole lot of pressure on
if you're
on
expecting
them.
The other person to bring happiness to you, you're not that's going to ever be happy.
Going
to
be rough.
Because they will fail all the time.
Yeah.
It's disappointing.
That's a big theme that I've been focusing on lately. I've talked to a couple of people who are unhappy in their relationships. And the question I ask them is, you know, is that the goal of your relationship is to be happy? Is that your main outcome? Because if it is, your relationships aren't going to last.
Yeah.
Because emotions fluctuate. Sometimes you're happy and sometimes you're sad, and that's just the way life goes.
Yep.
But if you're dedicated to growth and personal development and like becoming a better person, despite the happy times and the sad times, like how can you become happy as a result of pushing through the tough times?
That's exactly right.
So being responsible for your own emotions and happiness is huge.
It's huge. And so coming into the marriage side, when we actually landed inside of that and taking those understandings and those rules in, we kind of expanded on them a little bit because we recognized when we would get with a group of our friends, they would often talk about how bad their wives were.
Mm. Or husbands.
Yeah. And we never want to be the downer in the party, but we made a conscious decision to say,
we always talk highly of the other person. We don't ever want to talk poorly of them. And even in our thinking, the truth is, I could sit around and think about all the terrible things about David.
And there then are a lot.
There are about anyone.
Yeah.
Or I can think about all the awesome things about him and always remember how awesome he is.
Yeah.
There's both and in any person.
So
focus on the awesome.
So how that worked out is phenomenal, because we'll be in a group of friends and Gretchen says something that they can take as a burn on me, but I know her and I know what she does with me in public. And so we always say, I just go, that wasn't a burn. And she goes, no, that wasn't a burn at all. Because everything she says, I can filter through the heart that I know.
Mm.
So even if there's a slip of the tongue or a mistake, I know what her heart is, and I know what that intent is.
We always filter it through that core heart of who we know the other person is. So you can take anything two ways.
Yeah.
Often, if you filter it through the heart of David loves me, he cares about me, he wants the best for me, he could say a lot of things that could go either way, but if I filter it through that, then I always see it the right way.
Oh, that's so awesome. So a couple weeks ago, I interviewed this therapist and we talked about this thing. The science term is negative sentiment override.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the state of mind that you get in when you assume that anything, like any neutral interaction, has a negative spin on it. And you're sending it through the exact opposite filter. Like if you're sitting in the same room together and you're like reading a book and your partner goes, and you go, oh, what did I do this time? You know, it was nothing. I was just sighing, you know, but like there's this negative connotation, and people who get stuck in that, it's really, really hard to get out of. And it's really fascinating to me how healthy it can be to consciously choose to pass everything through the rose colored glasses instead of the poop colored glasses.
Yeah.
If you will.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Well, now,
that's really powerful that you guys do that.
Let's go back to dating though, for 1 second. Cause
our dating was horrific.
Horrible.
Horrible awesome.
Dating life.
Why was it dating?
We
or bad?
We were great friends, but we just had a lot
to work through.
Mm.
So,
and not interactionally, personally, inside of our own selves.
Both of us individually had a lot of our
growth.
Own issues.
Yeah.
We had to grow a ton. So between our dating and even through our engagement,
it was rough.
Rough.
So how did you accomplish that growth? Like,
we talked. Well, first off, we talked about everything.
Okay.
Nothing was off the table. If it, How many times did I break up with you?
David always broke up with me. Like three good, solid breakups.
Good, solid ones. I had a list of what I wanted in a wife, and Gretchen was not that list. Mm.
David had 41 things he wanted in a woman.
I had them typed out,
only
of course.
41?
Yeah.
41 things, including height, which I was not tall enough. And national origin.
Eye color.
I have the wrong color eyes. There are some serious issues here.
Wow, you were particular.
I was so
David had a true list of 41 things.
Then isn't it cool that your list got upgraded to Gretchen?
Yeah, it actually, I would say she beat the list.
That is an interesting part of the story.
But
because he broke up with me over the list. Yeah, like, he's giving me this list, and I'm like, well, I don't want to feel like the person you settle for. So I don't want that. I don't want you to feel like you settled.
But let's be clear, because your listeners or whatever can't see what her real reaction is on that. It was never this, well, don't settle for me. It was a very gentle, I don't want you to, I have your best interest at heart, David, so please don't settle.
Bitter.
Not at all.
It was more like, I want you to have what you want.
It was wonderful. It was the nicest words that she could have said.
Mm.
And those words are what broke that list.
Wow.
That broke that list. Yeah. I'll never forget that.
Well, and we really did walk away that night that he broke up with me. And I'm like, okay, well, we're broken up. This is okay, though. My life is not over. Once again, number one rule is love God first, so it's not devastating. And next day.
No, it was devastating for me, which is funny because I'm the one who broke up.
And you're like, what have I done?
I know.
My favorite was we were engaged.
Oh.
And I could just tell something was off with him. And you could see him kind of working through something. And I was like, what is going on? And he's like, you know, we spend every day together and we've never been apart since we even became friends. And maybe we just need to spend some time apart and make sure this is the way to go.
I'm going to tell you right now, that was my wuss way of saying this is going to end.
No, and I knew that. There was no question. I understood what he was doing.
Yeah.
And in the end, you don't want to marry somebody that doesn't want to be married to you.
Yep.
And so I was like, sad. But at the same time, he's like, in 1 week, I swear to you, he said this.
I did.
In 1 week, we will meet at the top of
some canyon or somewhere.
Someplace. We don't even remember where. And if one of us doesn't show up,
the other one
then
will
the other one will walk away.
And just be happy with their life.
His intention was to not show up right then.
Yeah.
And he just didn't want to look me in the eye and see the hurt.
Yeah. It's true.
But it was okay.
It was fine. Except for this one thing. It was before cell phones. It was before, pagers were out, but nobody.
We didn't have one.
And she didn't live anywhere close. And I didn't know where she was going to be.
Well, and I was just like, okay, so I at least have a week. I know that I have a lot to get done anyway. And I just got on task. Like, I'm going to get stuff done. I'm not going to dwell on this. I'm not going to make it a big issue.
Where I went to bed completely satisfied that I did the right thing. Woke up the next morning completely happy for about 30 minutes. And then I sat there and I went, I just did the stupidest thing a human being could do. What am I doing? I've got to go find
her. It's like that wave in the ocean that hits you from behind.
Oh,
you're just like, the ocean is great. The ocean is great. And all of a sudden it's like, whoosh.
Just takes you out.
Oh, no.
So I don't know where to find her. I can't call her because there's no cell phones.
Right.
So I get in my car and I start driving around the valley to everywhere I think she might be.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent maybe 5 hours that day going place to place to place. I finally ended up at the University of Utah campus and going computer lab to computer lab. And I walked into one computer lab, and I walked in, and I will never forget this either, because I walked in, there were two really good-looking guys, and I just was not as good-looking as these guys.
That's not true.
And I don't know. Two really good-looking guys talking to her, and I'm like, oh, crap, I've already blown it.
Already?
Yeah, I know.
We were engaged yesterday.
It's awful.
So I walked
up. We really were just working on a project, but he didn't realize
that.
He had no idea. And he's like, can I talk to you? Sure.
So we went outside and I said, look, I just made the stupidest thing I could have done. That was the dumbest thing I could have done. And so coming up now a few months later when we finally did get married, when the pastor asked, do you take this woman to be your wife? say I do. I said, without a doubt, this is who I wanted to marry. Now, would I say that I had the level of googly love? Googly. Googly. No, I wouldn't say that. Was I in love? Was I surrounded by wanting her best interest over my own? 100%.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, 100%.
Because I think there's a really inauthentic story, a fairy tale story, that we tell ourselves that it needs to, we need to feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And I see people in great, dynamic, loving relationships that walk away because they don't have the googly love.
Oh, it's not...
I honestly don't know if I can remember feeling the googly love...
At any point?
...with you.
Me neither.
It was always like... actions of love that were so endearing and kind.
2 years after we were married, I was driving down the canyon, and I literally said, oh my gosh, she said yes. That was the first moment I felt that. A couple of years in.
That's so cool.
Level of trust. We had to build that level of trust.
Yeah, and trust is a huge, huge part of, I would say, a dynamic, healthy marriage. Yeah. But trust comes over time. It doesn't, it's not instantaneous. It doesn't feel a certain way.
No, definitely not. It's just, it is what it is. So what else do you want to know? This is fun. That was how we dated.
That was beautiful. I loved it.
And that's the short version.
That's the short version of our dating.
I love it. That's fantastic. I love that it wasn't a perfect, like...
Oh, no.
It was eventful. There was turmoil. There was a struggle. You had to, like, fight to get your answer.
A ton of fighting.
Yeah.
A ton of fighting.
But throughout it all, we were authentic and respectful of each other.
Very much so.
And valued each other. And we would have been friends either way.
Oh, we would have stayed friends.
Because we had a true value for each other.
No question.
Which I say would continue today. Like, I think that I am the person I am today because I married David. Because he values my success so much that he will fight for my success more than I will.
Can you give an example of that?
Oh, hundreds. I would say lots and lots of them early in our marriage. I was shy and I was scared of people and I was always afraid that I would upset people. And I really lived in a world of fear. And David allowed me to feel freedom to not be afraid of disappointing others. Because he's always like, who cares if anybody's upset? I'm not. Who cares if anybody doesn't like you? I do.
Can I encapsulate that?
There was this... Yes, do...
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not...
Do a better job than
I'm not going to tell you...
Work with me.
How we doing? I'm not going to tell you an instance. I'm going to tell you a reality of our marriage.
Okay.
And that is this. 98% of every major fight we've had... I'm going to throw 2% because I probably don't remember any of the other ones... I'm going to go 98% of every major fight we had was because the other person was fighting the other person for the other person's best interest. Mm. So I was either fighting her for her best interest or she was fighting me for my best interest. It has never been protecting ourselves.
Yeah, and we've had some full-on smackdowns over it.
Yes, we have.
Like... I see what you're doing to yourself.
And you will literally say to me, don't treat my husband like this.
Yeah, because I have to protect you from you sometimes. And same thing with me. Like,
we're our own worst enemies.
Right.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So having that partner in crime that's going to fight for you is so huge.
But it is a very... That is the reality of what she's saying and how it plays out.
I cannot think... Well, there is one thing that I've ever said, but I've said a million things I want to do. I want to run a triathlon. Okay, let's go get all this stuff. I'm going to teach you to swim. He will be with me all until I decide I don't want to.
Okay, no, wait. What's the one thing?
Oh, so one time I said...
I have no idea.
This is terrifying. I want to build a garden.
Yeah, no.
And he laughed. He laughed really hard because There are just some limits.
You are the murderer of all things plant.
Oh, I apologize to plants when I buy them. I love them. There's no green thumb in this. I'll do my best.
I love that part of you. Yes. I love that part
of you. But you did laugh at me when I said I wanted to plant a garden.
But with that said, we did buy the little eye garden.
I was about to say, you have purchased me a little mini indoor garden that you keep alive. I don't.
But you do a great job at
cutting the stuff off and using it.
Yes.
That's the
fantastic.
Basil.
That's a teamwork right there.
Cutting the basil.
So that's really really not a no. That was just
a modified yes.
That's awesome.
Generally speaking, I can't think of a thing I've ever wanted that he would ever say no to me.
He's like championed
everything.
Anything you've ever wanted to
do. I could say anything I wanted to do and he would figure out a way.
That's great.
That
and vice versa. I mean, if you were to ask me one word to describe what I married somebody who's nice. I never feel like I'm coming home to another battle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This early in our marriage. This is a defining moment. There's some defining moments in marriage. And, you know, we obviously have already talked about how we have healthy conflict.
I know where you're going with this.
And
I forgot.
But very early, maybe the first year, 6 months, something in marriage, he looked at me and he was like, we need our house to be the place that we escape from the world. It doesn't need to be a place that we come home and feel like this, we're going into conflict. Mm. Like, we can have healthy conflict. That's not what he was trying to say. But it was, we need to be back to back with sword in hand, ready to take on the world. It's us against them. It's not us against each other.
Yeah. Now, and it was before Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith came out and it was back to back with the guns.
Well, then it was front to front with the guns like this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We can't.
I need to take a picture of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, at the time it was back to back, sword in hand. And that visual of we are on the same team fighting the world. And if you want to be on our team, awesome. But if not, we will take you freaking out.
Yes.
Do not mess with us.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to protect my man.
Yeah.
And in that moment, he also said, you have the power to make or break me. And the way you interact with me can do either thing. You can help me be amazing, or you can basically break me down. And it defined the way I understood how to interact with him. And I don't know if you hadn't communicated that, if I would have interacted with you the same, because, you know, my history, there is lots of conflict in my siblings, and that's normal.
Right.
And so it helped me interact with you in a way that was healthy for you. Mm. And in the end, healthy for us.
Yeah.
Do you guys know how rare your relationship is? Like, this dynamic? Are you aware? Like, honestly, I want to, like, are you aware of how rare a relationship like this is?
I don't know that it has to be rare.
No, it doesn't have to be rare.
Yeah.
But it is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Well, so, part of the reason why we have this podcast is so other people can go, oh, I want to be like the Figgies. Like,
so we... this would be a great moment. So we have what's a marriage vision.
Yeah.
We actually have a statement, and it's the same one. It matches our business statement, which is...
which we haven't defined. We work together. We own a business together.
Right.
So it is our business and our marriage
statement.
/ family now.
Yeah, family statement, which is everyone we meet, help them, whether personal or in business, help them move to and find their next level. And the reason I say that is because in hearing what you just said, we meet a lot of couples who do struggle, but they're all capable of this.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Capable. If you think that you could do this for the other person, everybody can do that. Care more about the other person than themselves.
But I will say it takes a level of trust that is phenomenal, and you have to risk getting destroyed.
And there are times, especially early in marriage, I would say many, many more times before some of the super deep connection comes, where you have to just make a conscious decision to die to yourself. Like, I'm just going to do this because not because I'm really thrilled about it or I want to, but because it's the right thing to do and it's good for us. And it's not good for me and it's not good for him. It is good for us to do it.
The third entity. And everything we do feeds that entity, makes it healthy or dies. And so every word that comes out of my mouth about my wife, is that feeding that entity in a healthy way or killing it? Because that's our oneness up there that we're talking about. And it's a huge element. I mean, even on the things we've... So I do want to be clear. We do not agree on everything.
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt that.
But we also make a very conscious choice to not take those debates into public until we both agree that we want to take it into public. And so there's one that we've been debating for 6 years?
6 years. 7 years.
A single word that we have been debating for 6 years.
I am right, no, but we won't go into that
today. She is not correct on this one. But
you've mutually respected that decision to keep it between you two until you figure out...
Yeah, every once in a while we talk to a few close friends about it because they... like to chime in.
Right.
That this isn't something we go and tell everyone. Dave and I disagree.
Right.
But we do have fun with the disagreements.
It is kind of funny.
The debates are amazing, and she is so brilliant, and it is very hard to win a debate with my wife. Because do you remember the old knives that they used to show on TV that would cut a tomato so thin?
So paper thin.
Yeah, that you could see through it.
Yeah, yeah.
That is her arguing style, and so she can
dismantles your argument slice by slice.
Right.
I know, it sounds so horrific.
It does.
But it's awesome when I win.
It's phenomenal. But it does. There are moments where the world has to see that we are not exactly on the same page at all times. And so we do bring that public. Yeah.
But I think also that we both are willing to see truth.
Oh, yeah.
Over winning.
I have been wrong many times.
Which is a huge deal.
At least three
times. Like, winning is not king.
Right.
Truth is king. And so if we can find out what the truth is, then we apologize. For example, just the other night, I thought I knew how we put the sheets on the bed.
I love you for this.
And
I love you too.
I was wrong. I was solidly wrong, and I just went to
say it again. I love you too. I love you too. Correct. That is very sweet. You do not have to.
That was for you.
I love you too.
That was awesome.
I love you too.
Okay, so in the last 21 years of your being together, 20 being married and one dating.
Or whatever that was.
Whatever that was.
Yeah.
That thing that we refer to as dating.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you're really proud of? The experiences or the growth? What's something, like, looking back that you're really proud of?
I'm going to guess that more often than not, it will be the people in our lives that we've influenced.
Yeah. It's not what we've accomplished. It's what they have accomplished. I would agree with you wholeheartedly.
Phenomenal people that we have watched go from sometimes 17 and 18 years old to mid-30s. And they're amazing. And the fact that we've been in their life to watch them become amazing, I would say, huge accomplishments.
Yeah, and that they would even
let us stay in their life.
It's kind of this, like, I'm going to almost say catch 21, but it's a give and a take. I don't even know how to explain this fully, but let me try. Can I try? Edit this. I don't know. All right. So one of the gentlemen that we're talking about right now came. We met him when he was 18. Great kid. Great kid. Street smart like nobody I've met in my lifetime. We watched him for a number of years and finally said, we need to offer to bring him into our company. And so we took him and his wife out for dinner and we offered him to join our company. It was kind of funny because he goes, I really don't fully understand anything you guys do, but I'm going to accept.
But so, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. So he came into our company and he grew and grew. And this
there
is
was a true season of mentoring because he was going from one very different world to the world we work in.
Right. But he surpassed us. And we watched him go past.
And
he got recruited. He got brought into a larger company where he did significant large effect. He's now been recruited out of there to another larger company.
Wow.
And he just got printed up in a magazine.
Yeah, as one of the
top, like, people to watch.
Under 40 in his industry.
Oh, very cool.
But that's he even brings up our name in conversation around that, if you were looking for the word, I don't want to use the word pride or proud. I would say it's nice to see him do what he does. I feel a pride as somebody who was just in his life along that
but
way.
I'm proud of him.
Yeah, I'm more proud of him than what, like, because we didn't do it, he did it.
I feel lucky that we got to be in his life.
He walked through the door.
Yeah.
But you were able to open that door for him.
Definitely. That's really cool.
But you're right. I'm proud of him.
Super proud of him.
So how do you explain that? I don't know how to explain it in terms of Gretchen and I. I know how to explain it in terms of the people that have been part of our lives and we've been able to love.
Can I take a stab at it?
Please do. I would love to hear.
I've seen this really interesting... I don't think we've ever really talked about this on the podcast before, so I'd love to just run this idea by you. So I feel like there's these kind of... these levels to a relationship and the impact that it has. So you can be in a relationship and the impact that you want out of it is for yourself. Mm-hmm. You want you want to be happy. You want your life to be, you know, you want companionship. You want to escape loneliness. It can be a very selfish reason to have a relationship. If you want to take it up a level of influence, you can be in a relationship for your partner. You know, you can make your relationship all about them and making sure their life is great. And hopefully they do the same mm-hmm. for you. And your partnership really benefits from that. You know, and your sphere of influence goes out one degree. And then there are these couples who their partnership together, they realize that how they interact with each other and how they are as a couple can influence the world and their community. And that their lives together and their drive and their desires and their influence can have an effect on the people around them. And I think that's really... So essentially what you're saying is that you're... What I'm hearing, and this can, I might be wrong, but just the impact that your relationship has goes beyond self and it goes beyond just each other. And it has swelled into this community of people and you're impacting lives just by being the two of you and being able to provide opportunities for growth, for mentorship, for influence to other people when they're willing to participate in that relationship with you.
And I agree. I completely agree. But I would say in that flow back is really... They give us more than we will ever give them.
Way more than we give them. But
And
that's our vision. And I think we developed as a couple. We became a couple that wanted to give out. And we didn't define our vision until maybe, 4 or 5 years ago?
But we were doing it.
But we defined it because we already recognized this is who we are and this is who we want to be more of. Mm. And so I think that's how we got our... vision.
But the example that we used to that gentleman, Mike is his name. Mike's impact on our lives is much
huge.
Greater than what he might perceive to be Gretchen and Maya's impact on his life.
I would agree.
There's no words to explain how great of an impact he has had on us.
Well, and just to give a side note.
I'm checking battery life. I'm not checking
your
time.
You're fine.
Yeah.
I just don't want the battery to die on us.
I've got more batteries.
Okay, cool.
So a side note is we were married for 14 years before we had a child. Not necessarily by choice, but just we never got pregnant. And so we had a long time together that we had time. Mm-hmm. We just had the time to go out and spend with other people.
Yeah.
And we are lucky that we... had a lot of ability to go and meet people and spend time with people. And we still try to, but it is a different place a little bit when you have kids.
Yeah.
So not everybody, couple younger has that. Maybe when they're older, they have that kind of time when they don't have little kids at home.
So I wonder how this happened.
Like, our child? I can explain it.
Not the child.
It was awesome.
A woman.
If you want the details, you might want to turn this off.
Oh, that's great.
I just heard, I literally just heard like very wide in my head.
That's good, you know?
Yeah. That's great. Marvin Gaye. There you go. Just like boom, just
I'm
right
really
in my
head. Child.
Yeah. No, for me to have you, Otis. All right, go on. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
Sorry.
I'm just like blown away by you guys. I'm really enjoying this conversation. And I want to know, like, how does this happen? Like, how does a relationship like this happen? You mentioned, like, just briefly in passing before we started that you come from, you probably didn't want to emulate your parents' relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you end up creating this type of relationship together without having, because One of my firm beliefs is that love is a skill mm-hmm. that you acquire over time, mm-hmm. and most of it has to do with the right training. And most of us are trained by the role models and examples we have access to. So did you guys have specific role models and examples that, like, trained you to be this way?
There truly is only one yeah. for us.
Yeah. And we don't mean to go religious on you.
No, it's part of your story.
It is our story in a lot of ways. We both learn from the same spot.
That we're Christians, and we believe in the Bible, mm-hmm. and we see a love relationship with God and his people, and how kind and loving and gracious, and he loved because we love him because he first loved us. Like, he always was the first to give. He always was the first to be kind. And it's emulated for us so clearly. That really was our role.
Where most people look at religion as the rules and just go at that basic level, neither of us did that. Both of us saw it as
this before you got together, neither of you did that?
Or? Yeah, it was all along the way. All along the way.
Yeah.
Way more before we were together. I mean, most of this was formed by the time we were going out. I can remember our first conversation about that at TGI Fridays. The reason I remember it is because I ate something so bad, and there was
He was protecting me from my own bad eating habits.
But I will tell you that I did not make it home that night. I had to stop at a 7-Eleven because it was that bad.
But it was delicious.
The food was delicious. 7-Eleven was an awful experience. That's not the place to have those moments. No. Much better than the Subway in Queens, which is another whole story. But
this is great.
Edit.
But when we started discussing and really talking things through, it did always come back to that discussion of how big was your God? What is what does this look like?
Why?
And when my relationship with God, it wasn't the rules, and it wasn't the rules for you. It was this understanding of
He's got your back, and He loves you, and He's big, and He has a plan. It changes your perception on life.
Yeah.
So
when we got into the discussions and the talking about life and talking about where we were going to go, we would always come back to that thought of, well, what is really important here? Where is the level of importance of what we're discussing? Is it really what way the toilet paper goes over?
Honestly, we never had a fight like that, and we were married 7 years before I realized David cared which way the toilet paper went, because he never told me. He just changed it.
Yeah.
And I would have done it. I didn't care.
Right.
But he just never thought it was that big of a deal.
Which way, David?
Yeah.
Fall towards you or fall away from you?
Oh, it definitely falls towards you, for sure.
And there's one reason he has informed me since then. Spiders. Apparently, the other way, what if a spider crawls on you?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. You just won't know.
That's a motivator.
This way, it's all coming out fresh. You don't see the spiders coming around.
Yeah.
See?
The only argument I've ever heard to that is if you have a cat.
Oh, yeah.
And the cat likes to do this, and it unwinds. Oh, yeah. It's facing the other way. It doesn't
do that. It'll just go. See, that would be a reason.
No cats.
I don't have cats either, and I've got the spider thing. So.
Me too.
Allergies.
So, cat taken care of.
Yeah.
Spider dilemma taken care of.
So
back to...
But you are getting 20 years of discussions and 20 years of taking things that we were doing naturally and being able to put words to those.
Mm.
And that does take a lot. We discuss relationships constantly.
We messed up and we stopped and said, we don't like the way that looks.
Right.
I remember the day we were like, okay, why would we ever be more polite to strangers
than we are to each other? Yeah,
and
which is a thing.
It is a thing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And so people are weirded out, but we still are very conscious to say please and thank you and can you help me and yes. And
like, I noticed that as you were preparing dinner together.
It's a big deal to us, because why would I be more polite? Not that I don't like you.
Right.
But I should be more polite to my husband, who I love and adore and live my life with. And so those little actions actually change the way you interact.
Yeah, there are a lot of people out there who say they want to marry their best friend, and then they treat their partner way worse than they'd ever treat their best friend.
Well, and they make the excuse of, well, I'm most comfortable with them. But I think that because I care most about him, I will do different things.
Mm.
Our theory to what you just said was very interesting, because it kind of plays into our theory that it's kind of like a hourglass shape in this world. when you're dating, the entire pressure of the world is to try to push you together, make you move faster than you should, do things that make you compromise who you are and push you further and further and further to get married as fast as you can. But the second you say I do, literally within an hour after you say I do, that pressure of the world reverses to drive you apart.
Oh, that's fascinating. I've never heard that before.
Isn't that
so true?
It's so true. Tell us.
Yeah, well, no, I would love to hear about that. No, like, it just, I can see how that would happen.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen my friends go through, I've never been married, but, like, I'm dating somebody right now, and people put on the heat. Like,
yeah.
Instantly, oh, when are you going to get a ring? When are you going to get married? Blah, 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 blah.
And it's been a couple months.
Yeah, but then I watch my friends who get married, and instantly, like.
The pressure of the world shifts.
The pressure of the world shifts.
To tear them apart.
And it's like, oh, you know, you just hear people start gossiping about their spouse. I mentioned earlier tonight, this is total semi-tangent, but earlier tonight, I mentioned the quote by Jim Rohn, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Yes.
Right.
I'm a firm believer that your relationship is the average of the five couples you spend the most time with.
Mm.
So my assumption is that you've got some friends that have really great relationships as well.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say early in our marriage we did.
No. But
but as we've gotten older, we've stayed closer friends with people that tend
And
to
I
like
see
each other or treat each other well.
I see my friends who struggle the most in marriage have other friends who really struggle in their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Pew research study that says, I'm bringing in the science, but
do it.
That divorce is contagious.
Mm-hmm.
If you are close, if the people close to you get divorced, like your siblings or your really close neighbors and friends, you're 75% more likely to get a divorce.
Wow.
Because it's called behavioral contagion. Like behavior is contagious. But the thing is that it goes the other way around too. When you live your values, other people around you get elevated to your values. So like I went to lunch the other day with a friend of mine who is a vegetarian, and she's like, I don't eat meat. It's just not, it's something I don't believe in morally. Like I do no harm. It's really important to her. And I was like, oh, I could not eat meat for this meal.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily the value system I live by all the time. Or like another great example is if you're in a room and somebody tells like an off-color joke that probably caused a lot of people in the room to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
If one person says, hey, you know, that's not okay. Or one person stands up to a bully, it gives other people permission to go, yeah, you know what? That isn't okay.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
That behavior
mob mentality.
When you guys show up and you're like, I love my spouse and I'm kind to them and it's really great and they're wonderful and you know, I love my husband, I love my wife and this is a fantastic relationship, it gives other people the permission to go, hey, you know what? I actually love mine too.
Yeah.
And like,
maybe you'd be
blown away by that, by the way. That is true. I've seen that many times.
So I love how it goes both ways, and I love how you guys have taken a stand for being that positive influence. Maybe even without even realizing, you probably realize it, but
no, you know what? I don't think so. Yeah. I honestly think it's just what we are as far as DNA. We've never really taken that stand to
well,
make
now
that.
You know.
Yeah, now we know.
But regardless of whether or not it's intentional, that's the effect that you're having.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I kind of like him.
Yeah, I kind of like her too.
That's fantastic.
So, what else do you want to know? This is fun. Hopefully, you're having fun.
No, I'm having a blast. This is great. I love conversations like this. I'm really glad that David, who is the podcast that's published right before yours, introduced us because, I mean, it just amazes me how like attracts like and how like dynamic people attract dynamic people, and you guys are very dynamic.
I gotta listen to that podcast because I love David York
and
I love Mindy York.
It's very much based off of the TED Talk that he did.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh, so, what a talk.
Yeah. So great.
Yeah.
So what's if you were willing to share with me is like a struggle that you guys have had in your relationship, something that may have been a challenge or an opportunity for growth that you've overcome together, because every couple has one.
I think there's lots of struggles. But I don't think it's the same as lots of people say struggles. Like we've had businesses that have had hard times.
How'd you deal with that?
So
that's a really good example, I would say.
It's kind of funny because I'm gonna use an example on how we decided where to go to dinner early on in a relationship because it actually answers that question.
Great.
We always talked about hearing, listening, and valuing the least common denominator. So when we talk about where do we go for dinner tonight, it meant way more to Gretchen than it did to me where we go to dinner.
Mm.
And so Gretchen felt was at that point in love with the Spaghetti Factory.
We ate there a lot.
Oh my gosh, so many times.
As I said before, I honestly could say I want anything in life, and David will, without question, do whatever he can to get it for me. And so I would say Spaghetti Factory, and he would go, okay.
But there are times when I'm the least common denominator, where it means so much more to me than it does to her.
Right. Like parking far away from everything else.
Yes, I love to park far, far away.
For
I like
multiple
to walk.
Reasons.
Yeah, I do not like door dings.
No door dings, and you exercise. Get a little bit of exercise.
Yes, for sure. Definitely.
Yes, and that is a very high value for David.
Yeah, or even I don't like to go downtown a lot because I don't like to park downtown. It's really hard to park down there. So she's very sweet about that. But when you asked about the question, how do we get through those growth times? If you were to chart it out scientifically, what you would see would look like two wave patterns. And we might both be starting to struggle, but we figure out which one's struggling more, and the other one starts rising to pull the other one up.
Mm. Every time.
Every time.
Absolutely.
Every time. So you probably saw us react funny to that question, and we don't want to sound like...
We don't have hard times.
Right.
There's lots of hard times.
There's lots of hard times.
But truly,
the moment
some of
one
the hardest
of us...
times have been really incredibly great as a couple. Life.
The growth element to that.
So life hard times. So, for example, we have a company, the contract with our company was purchased by another company, and we got into a really bad relationship, company to company relationship.
Mm.
It was incredibly painful, and we decided to
terminate
fire
that company,
and that was 90% of our income.
Oh.
And so we decided, just made a decision to live on savings and start over, and that's hard. Like, that's true hard life.
But I don't look
back at it and think,
but the,
that was so hard for us.
Right.
I just think that was part of life.
But not the firing of the company. The way the company was reacting, the emotional stress it was putting on both of us was tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
However, I had been down that road many years prior. I'd worked for that company before we owned our own company. So I understood the stress better. And when I saw her starting to crash through it...
It was painful.
I was able to know, okay, she's the least common denominator.
You can throw the lifeline.
I can throw the lifeline. I need to suck it up, get above this.
Every time, every day.
Find a way to serve her.
He just would say, you make the call. Whatever you need, we'll do. And eventually, finally, I just said, you know, we need to...
But that was a good...
Pull the plug.
Yeah.
It was a season. Like, it was almost 24 months of deciding to pull the plug, and then you have another year of rebuilding, and that's life pain. But it was still good life.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You know? Definitely.
So it's hard to say...
Yeah, I hope my question wasn't misleading in that that it was a knockdown, drag-out fights, or that it was
not
a negative experience.
Not misleading at all. No.
Yeah.
I think a lot of couples... It's really interesting to hear how the times where they... grew closest together were the times where they went through the biggest struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not necessarily conflict with each other, but like the loss of a child or bankruptcy or losing a business or...
Well, so funny you used to say that. So I'm the preparer. Mm-hmm. I'm the guy who prepares in the family. So we talk about death all the time. Who's dying first?
I knew what I would need to do if I needed a Heimlich.
Yes. But I
have a plan in place. If anybody comes, if there's an intruder, I know exactly what I'm going to do.
But we are 100%.
Because David's told me.
Yes.
Right.
But we are 100% guaranteed to die. And one of us will likely go first. It's very unlikely we will go
together.
At the same time.
Right. And so we talk about that all the time. But let me bring up an issue most couples don't talk about. What if one of us has an affair?
Mm.
And so this is what we have promised each other in that. If we have an affair, the very moment that little moment with the other person is done, the very first call will be to the other person to allow them the opportunity to make a decision on what to do at that point.
Mm.
And that is our agreement between each other. I mean, humans are humans. Things happen. But if it did happen, by the way, if it happened...
Our hope is that never is the case.
Right. But if it does, my promise is I'll call her first.
Right.
And we know lots of people in our lives that have done this. It's shocking how many affairs we know of.
Yeah. But that
and
is
so
that
we're
is,
aware of it.
It's a and it's a common thing, and it's worth having that conversation.
It is so worth having that conversation.
I'm reading a book right now about infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating book. And the two things in the very first chapter that blew my mind was one was a statistic that says in the lifetime of a relationship, 50% of people do not honor their vows.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
50%.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And it's just like, whether it's an emotional or a physical situation, at some point in their relationship, they will not honor their vows.
Wow.
Right.
And then the other one was that by having a happy marriage, you're divorce-proofing your marriage. And the statistics, this woman shared is she studied divorce and worked with people who've had experienced infidelity her whole life. And she said that you'd be surprised how many happily married couples cheat.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with being happy. It has there's a whole lot more to it than that. And there's a lot of people who I think are naive and don't have that conversation because they don't think, oh, it could never happen to me. We're happy.
Right.
You know, or it could never happen to me. We have this, like a basis of faith in our against our beliefs.
And it could still fall.
And it can still fall.
People are human.
That's cool that you've talked about it. That would be our hope.
Yeah.
But we're human.
We talk about things such as if one of us has a stroke, and I'm not talking about the physical side, I'm talking mentally, all of a sudden, they don't like the other person. And has nothing to do with the reality.
Your personality completely changes.
Complete shift in personality. An example.
Which is funny. Just last fall, we were walking through a big store.
Sam's Club. I'm going to say who it is.
I wasn't going to say who
it was. I have a Sam's Club.
It's okay.
and something fell out of the ceiling and hit me in the head. And it was a rough several months. Like, I had memory loss and...
Oh my gosh.
Couldn't remember things.
Your personality shifted.
David felt like I was kind of, you know, the bee a bit. I was just feisty.
You're feisty.
And that's not who... I'm normally not feisty. Yeah. I'm a little sassy.
You're sassy.
But I'm not. I'm Texas sassy.
But the decision was,
feisty.
This is my new normal, and I'm still in love with the person who's before me. And we had had that conversation for years.
Am I better?
You are. As he winks at the guy, would know.
So much better.
You are completely, like, complete. Well, we'll see. Do you remember who I am this time?
You are David Figge.
There you go. No, you are doing better. That was our...
That was the drain.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay.
What else would you like to know?
I would love to know that if you had one piece of advice to give people like me who would love to have a relationship like yours, what would it be?
Marry nice.
I'd agree. Don't.
You can deal with a lot of things.
Yeah, marry.
But marry nice.
Marry.
Be nice and marry nice.
Yes. And marry someone you feel like is going to cheerlead. And vice versa.
Yeah.
Then you get to be their cheerleader. Yeah. I don't know how else to put that.
You're so much more articulate than I am. But to me, nice is so like an umbrella of so
kindness
many.
Kindness is so underappreciated.
It is.
Thank you.
And if you're going to read a book together, you know what a great book to read together
is?
An etiquette book. Read an etiquette book.
Yeah, they're super fun.
To learn to be polite to each other?
To be polite to the world.
Yeah.
As a couple, what does that mean? What does that look like?
I just became paranoid that my elbows are on your table.
You're fine. We're not eating dinner. One of the rules to etiquette is you never expect that from somebody else.
Really?
Yeah, that's our rule at least.
The goal of etiquette is to help everyone feel comfortable.
Yeah.
That's the whole purpose of etiquette. So if everyone feels comfortable, it doesn't matter what you're doing.
But I agree. I do think there is somewhat... I dated a lot before we got married. Mm-hmm. She dated a lot. So we didn't just go for the first person we met, but we have friends who did, and they have great relationships. What I would say is, no matter how much you try, you just have to... It's still risk, though. Marriage is risk.
Relationship is risk.
It is so much easier to be single and lonely than to be married and lonely.
Mm.
And we see that all the time in our friends.
And often you have to keep risking through the relationship.
If you're not willing to lose the person, you're probably not ready for it.
I like that a lot. I just taught a lesson in church the other day about... I don't talk about this kind of stuff on the podcast very often because I try and keep... religion is a completely different thing, but this is totally relevant, about rejection and fear. And one thing I noticed from studying the Bible is that, like, the miracle always happened on the other side of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And that most people had to face the possibility of rejection or failure before they got to experience the miracle. And how often do we want the miracle of love? I honestly believe that when two people meet each other and fall in love and say, I want to spend the rest of my life with you, it's a miracle. It is so miraculous. From somebody who's been trying to find that and create that in his life for so long, I truly believe that it's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the people who get to really experience the miracle like you guys have are the people who are willing to risk the rejection and the failure.
Yeah.
And the people who don't are so too scared.
Yeah.
They're too scared.
Absolutely.
To risk it.
And there's a lot to be said for risking what you really think and what you really feel, because until I'm completely authentic, he cannot truly love me. And
because he's loving a false version of you.
Exactly.
And yeah. So until we're completely naked,
I love that word.
Metaphorically and physically.
Yes, I do love that word. No one uses it enough. Naked.
I know. We're going to use it all night long.
Yes.
That came out.
Whoa. How long have we been going?
So sorry.
That was great.
But to be completely naked in all ways.
Completely what? Sorry.
Vulnerable, authentic in all ways, you don't know that you're really loved.
Yeah.
And so what if I expose this part of me? Will I still be loved? And it takes risk to do that. And it takes truly unconditional love to do that, because to receive it. Because there could be things that you don't like about someone, but will you like them and love them anyway?
Mm.
Like, are you willing to love the whole authentic person and accept them for who they really are? Are you going to make them be who you want them to be?
Yeah.
Which is not true love.
There's this really interesting book called The Mastery of Love by Don Miguel Ruiz, and he draws this perfect analogy. He says, you wouldn't buy a cat and then get mad at it for not wagging its tail or wanting to play fetch with you or going to fetch the newspaper.
Yep.
And he's like, you get a cat because you want a cat and you love it for being a cat. Same thing with a dog. You get a dog and you love it for being a dog. So why do we have people in our lives and then try to change who they are, like, without loving exactly who they are?
Yeah, exactly. So true.
It's interesting how we can accept the... It's hard, so hard to fully accept the people who are most important to us in our lives, but we can fully accept a pet or... people
right.
who don't.
We want to change the people we love, but that's not love.
Yeah. Beautifully said. You guys are very wise.
No. Oh. You're very sweet.
Thank you. I'm also very honest.
Yes.
So, we've gone an hour.
Awesome.
This makes me want to come back and just talk to you guys every week. But yeah, do you have any, before we kill it, do you have any final thoughts you want to share?
Yeah, I do. One.
Please.
We're so happy you came in our life tonight.
Yeah, thank you for
yeah,
coming.
Thank you.
I feel lucky to have had the privilege of meeting you tonight and sharing dinner at your table.
As do we. Yeah. We love it.
Awesome.
So.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I hope that we can do more of this down the road.
Yeah. You never know.
That would be awesome.
Well, no, you don't. But I can hope.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode with David and Gretchen. I hope you enjoyed it. It was really one of my favorite episodes. If you liked it, please rate on iTunes. And I hope to hear from you next week when we release the Gottmans episode, John and Julie Gottman. It's going to be a fantastic one. Tell your friends. Share this episode if you liked it on Facebook or on Twitter. Thanks for tuning in again. I love you.